We just invite you. We invite you to move. We invite you to touch every person. We invite you to move in our circumstances of our life. Holy Spirit, come in such a strength and a power that we know, that we know, that we know. We've been touched by the hand of the Master through the power of the Holy Spirit. So move, Holy Spirit, in this place, in your temple, in the place where you want to dwell, in the place of each person who knows you, in relationship with you. Spirit of God, touch and just move in a great and powerful way that we know that we've been with Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're always telling us more about Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're always directing us to the cross. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you always tell us about the Word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you direct us. All the affairs of our lives, our steps are ordained by the Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. As we come to this communion table this morning, Lord, we ask that by His stripes we are healed. We thank you for the Word this morning. As we honor you, Jesus, as we do in remembrance these things that we lift up and we hold dear, that very place in our hearts, that Jesus Christ has come in and saved us and set us free. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just want to read you one verse of Scripture from John chapter 16 before we go to the communion table. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. We know that Jesus departed. We know that Jesus died upon a cross. We know that Jesus laid down his life for you and I. But he sent the Holy Spirit. He did not leave us as orphans. He did not leave us alone. Thank God for a God that loves us this much, that he loves us. So God, I praise you as we come to this table. As these emblems are distributed, Lord, we thank you for your presence. God, we surrender to you today. God, I pray if somebody has not given their heart to you today, Jesus, before the emblems come to their lips, I pray that they would surrender to you, that they would give their lives over to you. And for us who know you today, Lord, I praise you. I praise you, Lord, that as we partake of these emblems together as a body of believers, we just ask, oh God, that it would be so meaningful, Lord. It would be such a blessing, Lord, to us, that as again we partake of these emblems, we are drawn back to the cross where Jesus, you died for us. So we thank you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to distribute the emblems in just a few moments. But if you would hold them until we all have them, and then we'll partake together at my direction, and we'll have this time as meaningful because we lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. If the board members would come forward, please.
Beyond.
Hallelujah.
In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Jesus. Thank you for that rest, Lord, that only comes in you. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup in the new covenant is my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Really good to be together as a body of believers, isn't it? God does some great and wonderful things in our lives if we would only see. You know, I think that we're all responsible for this life that we live. And have you ever got dry and thirsty? And really to the place where, you know, you just want more of God, but you know you're so dry and thirsty that things are just not the place where they should be in our lives. I wonder if on the day of Pentecost, as those 120 were waiting in the upper room, and I wonder if they would have said, "God, we're dry, we're thirsty, we want you. Whatever you've promised to in this baptism, Lord, is what exactly we need." So I wonder if this could have been a song that maybe they could have sung in that day, of the day of Pentecost. Thank you. This nation of Canada needs Jesus. To this dry and weary land,
send your rain, send your rain. Lord, we need your touch again. Send your rain, send your rain. This nation, oh, let it rain, let revival roll. We need your rain, we need your streams of refreshing for every thirsty soul. Yes, let it rain, let it pour from heaven, oh, let it rain. Streams of refreshing until I thirst no more.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many can relate to that? You're thirsty. You're hungry. You want more of God. Amen. Kids can head off to Sunday school. Chewbacca's not here. Is she? Amen. Go ahead, Amanda. You can. Oh, no, sorry. We have a video, do we? I'd like to play this video. Remember, I talked to you about district conference and some of the statistics I said about some of the churches in our district and some of the things that are happening. This was presented to us at, I guess, a lot of pastors and churches had asked for some of the statistics. So I got this video for you, and I wanted to play this for you before we got going this morning. So watch this video.
Amen. Just wanted to show you some of those things that some of the statistics are alarming, aren't they? As you think about them that are happening. We need to get our boots on again and start going. And not to give up and not get tired. We are living in a world right now that needs mercy and forgiveness. I don't know if you heard in the news, I was listening on the way down. There's another terrorist attack in England where 7 were killed, I believe, and 45 were injured. All around our world right now is living in a terrible state. The racism, the hatred, the terrible things that are happening. This world needs Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and put my first one up there, Amanda. Then I'll take it from here. Hopefully it'll work. Good scripture to start the day. Amen. And the day of Pentecost had fully come. This wouldn't be Pentecost Sunday unless we read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. So, okay, we'll do that. Would you allow me to do that on this Pentecost Sunday? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I've been looking forward to this day for several months. And, you know, as you go through as a pastor, like you're going through January, February, March, and you all of a sudden feel led to preach on something and say, that's a good subject for June 4th for Pentecost Sunday. And you kind of put it aside. You store it in your computer. Then something happens in March. That could be a good thought for Pentecost Sunday, so you store it in your computer. And then you get into April. Oh, that's a good thought for Pentecost Sunday, so you store it into your computer. And then you get into the month of May, and all of a sudden you get two or three things that come and say, that would be pretty good for Pentecost Sunday on June 4th, and you store them in your computer. And I'm looking at all these things and say, God, what do we do? And so this morning, I didn't know. I just waited upon God, and so I felt that maybe God wanted us to have a mixed bag this morning. Is that okay? Amen. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this, what's going to happen, but there's all kinds of things. It's like going out into an apple orchard, and you've got all different types of apples out there, and you begin picking, wow, that one's a nice one, that one, oh yeah, let's take from that tree and everything else. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. Is that okay? Would you forgive me before I even start preaching? Is that okay? Good, because here's where this preacher is going, and Holy Spirit, please come along. Yes, amen. I know you're laughing with me, right? How many know or have ever memorized this psalm, this beautiful, beautiful psalm of David? Shepherd boy that he was, killed the bear and the lion, looked after the sheep, was very instrumental in bringing a turnaround for the nation of Israel, and that he went out and slaughtered a great big giant Philistine by the name of Goliath and turned things around and all of a sudden became one who was very eyed with many songs, even in that land where Saul kills his thousands and David kills his 10,000s. And anyway, he never forgot his roots. And Psalm 23 shows the very perspective where he said, the Lord is my shepherd, even though he was a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Spirit today. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit every day, not just June 4th. We need Holy Spirit every day that you and I live. or attempt to live as Christians. And I hope that you're attempting every day to live as a Christian, especially in the day and age that we're living in. Our own strength will not do it. Our own wherewithal will not do it. Our own thinking cannot cut it. We need Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and to teach us. David said in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And that's the only way it can be. We can't trust in everything else that's around us. We certainly can't trust in our country of Canada nor its leadership, but we need to pray for them. Not to criticize them, but to pray for them. Amen? And so when King Hezekiah was out there in the battle of going to take on the king of Assyria, this is what he said, and I like this in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8. He said, with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. We need to be strengthened by the words of the word of God. But what Jesus is saying to us by his Holy Spirit. See, the world trusts in the world. The world depends upon the world. The world seeks guidance from the world. The world is looking for everything to answer every dilemma that they face from the world. Christians have a higher hope. We have a higher hope. We have a higher trust. A God who rules supreme over all affairs of this world. God is in control. Amen? Better believe he's in control. This is a day that we need to know God's word. The church, I feel, as we saw some of those statistics, some of us has deteriorated in our walk with God. Amen? We need to get back on the horse and find that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I believe that the church has deteriorated in some ways, if not many ways, but especially with one area which I believe is God's Word. I feel that we're neglecting God's Word today, and I really encourage you to get out to Wednesday night Bible study, an inductive Bible study, and learning how to study the Word of God. When we know the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will connect us deeper in God. You will go deeper in God when you get into the Word of God. It only stands to reason. You're studying the Word of God, you're going to be taken deeper, amen, in his ways. Did you know that if we have a little word in us, we can get a little world in us? Little word, little world. And did you know that if we have no word in us, we're probably going to have a lot of world in us? But if we have a lot of the Word of God in us, we will probably reject what the world has to say to us. Amen? I was thinking about some of the things, and I wanted to take you to this because, you know, there's got to be a significance of Pentecost. Not just this Pentecost Sunday, but Pentecost, the moving of the Holy Spirit, the touch of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. There's got to be great importance and significance of why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, why he said the Father would baptize us just like John's baptism. And as I started thinking about the loss of the Word of God in many people in our society, the lack of the Word of God by many people, especially in the church, I was reading this article from Christian Headline News. Does anybody get Christian Headline News? Now, this is quite an article, and I want you to read this and look at it. I'm just going to give you the opening paragraph of this article. It was in Christian Headline News. You're quiet readers. Amen. Did I catch you? This event celebrates the moment in Acts 2 when Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem. Did you notice something about this? Jesus was not in Jerusalem. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. This is how we read. And if we're not connected to the Word, as I looked at this, something terribly wrong in this picture. When Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem celebrating Pentecost. Now, watch this. As they were gathered, a violent wind and fire came, and the people were filled with the Holy Spirit and suddenly able to speak in different languages. Did you notice something there, too? It was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Tongues like as of fire This person wrote about that. And people who are innocent and don't know their word, they'd be taken in by this. How many times do we read a book or see a video or watch something that we say, wow, it's done by a Christian person. This is Christian headline news. I mean, we're taking it in, and there it is. I mean, we take it in and see the errors and take in the errors, and we're mixing error with the truth. Obviously, the person that wrote this probably wasn't a Pentecostal and only came once a year to this scripture in Acts chapter 2 and kind of put it in their own language and how they thought it should be interpreted and everything else. And so we read it, and we see it. And for us, thank God, I trust that you saw those mistakes as you went along there and you captured into them, because there's some really bad stuff there in taking in the thought of the Christian scriptures. Now, I've got a real good book here that was given to me by Pierre. It's The Sky Is Not Falling by Charles Colson. What a great book. You know, he's since passed away in 2012. I think I put it up here. Yeah, 1931 to 2012. This is a good book. If anybody wants to get a book that reads, he talks to the church, he talks to how we need to reach out, talks a lot of things. But it's very interesting, some of the things he brings to light here. And let me just give you some of these things, because he doesn't speak for himself. He goes to the statistics all around him. And on page 92, he talked about how Gallup took a poll. They report that 20% of born-again Christians believe in reincarnation. That's one in five. 20% of born-again Christians believe in reincarnation, and 26% in astrology. 45% of those that the Barna Group classifies as born-again believe that if people are good enough, they can earn a place in heaven. He writes that half of born-again baby boomers believe all religions are equally good and true. Almost half have no involvement in a conservative Protestant church, and a quarter of them believe in communicating with the dead. Wow. A Barna Group poll survey in 2009 found that only one-third of all adults, this is adults, not the church, 34% believe that moral truth is absolute and unaffected by circumstances. Slightly less than half of the born-again adults, 46%, believe in absolute moral truth. Wow. I mean, this book is shocking. And then I went to, because I don't know if anybody has known this guy. He was with Richard Nixon and in the Watergate scandal, went to jail, and he started a powerful ministry called Prison Fellowship. And they have helped many. He talks many times in here about going to different prisons and people coming to Christ. And he started that many of the families of these people, of the prisoners, they want to get them into the Word of God. So he started taking them to the Word of God. And it's really interesting, some of the things that happened. And I don't know if I've got this one here or not, but it is really good. Well, a Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life survey found rampant doctrinal ignorance among American Christians. 57% of evangelicals believe people who follow religions other than their own can enjoy eternal life. The results were so unexpected that Pew repeated the survey because they couldn't believe what people thought. Asking more specific questions, the answers were virtually unchanged. Astonishingly, about half believed that everyone, atheists included, was going to end up in heaven. Talks in here about a class they had, and it was really interesting because they had several leaders. They had about 147 people come into one of their present fellowship classes, and they talked about going through this class, and some of the statistics were coming up. They couldn't believe that a lot of people believe that every religion leads to God. And so the leaders were really astonished. And then the head leader had some of their leaders underneath them said, "So what's the problem?" And so they said, "You need to go to your pastors, and you need to go to people in your church, and you need to get back to the Word of God and find out." And so this one of the leaders went to their pastor, and the pastor came back and said, "Well, you've got to watch that you don't, you know, everything in the Bible you got to take with a grain of salt." And the person couldn't find anything. And so other people came back and said that they went to their parents. These were young teenagers and older teenagers. They went to their parents, and the parents told them, said, "Well, you got to watch. You don't want to rock the boat or offend people with preaching the word of the Lord too strong." He couldn't believe how back the people were from the word of God. So really this morning, as we come to the Holy Spirit, who connects us with the love of the Father, the mercy and the forgiveness that we have in God, who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring everything of Godhead into our lives and make that impact of which will change us and redirect the affairs of our everyday life. And if we don't believe the Word of God is powerful and sound and it's a doctrinal place that we can hang our hat, where are we as Christians? Where are we with the Word of God? The Word will never, ever betray us because it is truth. Can you say amen? In a world full of all kinds of misconceptions, half-truths, and a lot of lies, we need the Word of God today. Jesus spoke of a powerful river that would flow from heaven. He spoke of a powerful river. He said, nevertheless, and I want to read you this verse again, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. In other words, the river was going to start in the Holy Spirit. Amen? However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me. He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. That's a powerful work of the Holy Spirit. This is heaven working on our behalf. This is heaven working on our behalf here in this world. What we're going through, what we're facing, heaven is on our behalf. He's going for us. God has never, ever left us alone to our own defenses. He is fighting for us. So today is Holy Ghost Day. Amen? It's Holy Ghost Day, Pentecost Sunday. We need the Word. We need the Word. We need the Word just exactly as it is written. Amen? We cannot add to it. We cannot take away from it. We need the Word exactly as it is written. See, the festival of Pentecost is something that's birthed in the Old Testament but really came to fruition in a spiritual experience in the book of Acts. If you were to go back, you would find that Pentecost is the Greek word used for the festival of weeks back from Exodus 34. From the Sabbath after the Passover, the Hebrew people were to count 7 weeks, 49 days, and on the 50th day, the wheat was to be offered in the form of 2 loaves of bread. And special sacrifices were made on the altar, and all men over 20 were ascended to Jerusalem to celebrate and give thanks for the wheat harvest, which was a much-needed grain for the survival of the people. It was on the very day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem, and the festival of Pentecost from the Old Testament became the official day of the birth of the church in recognition of the church, with 3,000 receiving Christ as their Messiah and following Peter's admonition to be baptized in water and publicly confessing their sins and their acceptance in Christ's new covenant. They wanted to follow Jesus. Amen? You know, it's amazing, but if you were to talk to a lot of people, many people think there was no Jesus before the cradle and the cross. It's true. They think there was no Jesus before the cradle and the cross. That's when He came. And many get this idea there was no Holy Spirit until Acts chapter 2. Amazing how people think when they read the Word of God. Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has always been and always will be. There's no start or end or anything of any of the three, but the significance of where we see each of them represented to us in the world as God created this world, and each one has a representation to us, and we need all three of them. A great evidence of the Holy Spirit is the anointing that comes from Him. The anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's a great evidence. Have you ever felt anointing? You know, I can remember a few weeks ago when Gord was over in Brockville and we were up in the front praying, and there was an anointing on my brother Gord up in the front there and just dancing away. And I was telling Roger, send people around Gord. Just get over by Gord because there's a real anointing that's flowing from him. I don't know why it is, but sometimes you and I just get this powerful anointing that just breaks every chain, does touches and moves and ministers in all kinds of ways. You can't explain that. You just know it's there. It's a powerful anointing. Have you ever noticed in your Christian walk that what we can do is perhaps great, but what the Holy Spirit can do in us is a lot better? Amen. Have you ever noticed that, you know, you said some words you didn't really realize you had in your vocabulary? Have you ever thought some thoughts you really didn't think that you could ever think? Have you ever give God the glory for those kinds of things? Because it's the Holy Spirit just coming in and say, look, I want to anoint you because you're in a very particular situation that needs some help. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost, it's possible. We are so blessed in the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, Peter walked by somebody who was sick just by his shadow touching them, and they got up and said, I'm healed. How do you explain that? Is there power in shadows? I mean, the world out there would think, there's got to be some reasonable explanation for what happened here. Like, you know, obviously, you know, he picked up some, maybe some medication along the way and dropped it on the sidewalk, and maybe this man picked it up. And, you know, how the world goes through their stuff. You know, Peter, anointed by the Holy Spirit, walks down a street, some guy's begging, and a shadow passes by him, and the guy stands up healed. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, when you and I enter into any business place and we're praying for businesses, you know, and if we begin to pray for a business, it would be kind of nice that, you know, not only to take the letter and send it to them, but all that week long, tell our people, this is the business we're praying for. If it's Dairy Queen, we'll all go to Dairy Queen, right? That's a good start. You know, if it's Tim Hortons, you know, like, to everybody go in there and maybe even have something. I'm from Cornwall Pentecostal Church. We're praying for you. To give that to them, and they're sitting there. Where'd that come from? Oh, another person came in. You know, just all of a sudden, they've got a whole pile of little pieces of paper that say Cornwall Pentecostal Church is praying for them. Amen? There would be anointing in that place. You know, whatever business you and I go in, whatever place where we work, you know, whatever we're doing in our life, anywhere that we go, we carry with us this powerful anointing of Holy Spirit in our lives and on our lives. You never know what can happen. Anything can happen because it's an incredible God that you and I serve. You know, I looked up this word anoint or anointing, and the dictionary just puts it like this because they're of the world. You know, I just want to let you know this is what the dictionary says about anointing. They say to smear, rub with oil in or an oily substance. Okay? That's all the world can see of anointing is just smear some oil on you or some oily substance, and I guess that's an anointing. But we know something different. If you go to the Bible, there's either a spiritual anointing or there's a material anointing. The material was with oil and the spiritual was with the Holy Spirit. It was like the rite of inauguration where there was three typical offices of the Jewish community where there was prophet, priest, and king, and they were anointed by oil to go into that very specific ministry and set apart for those things. Anointing oil was also prescribed by James. Anoint the sick, call them forth. Anointing with the oil and they shall be healed. Amen? They'll be saved. Thank God. If you go to the spiritual part in the Old Testament, deliverer is promised under the title of Messiah, or his other name is Anointed One. Anointed One. Anointed One. That's who he is, the Anointed One. And if you were to go to the Anointed One scripture, of which he pulled from Isaiah chapter 61, this Anointed One, Jesus Messiah, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And if you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, you'll find that Jesus drew from that scripture. And he closed the book and sat down because today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen? The Anointed One, because he is anointing. Jesus went about doing good, it said. Do you know why and how that happened? He was anointed by the Holy Spirit everywhere he went. He was going around doing good, and it's described as spiritual because he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Christ was anointed as prophet, priest, and king. Anointed by the Holy Spirit. The spiritual anointing with the Holy Spirit is given upon every one of us by God to do the same things. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Anointing. It expresses the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit upon us as Christians. The sanctifying influence on us as Christians. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, I appreciate the Wednesday night Bible studies. I can't talk enough about it. I'm really building you up here, Pierre. I love Bible study on Wednesday night. You know, I'm getting so much and out of them. And it was sad to see the book of Romans go. But we're going to be pressing on because there's more of the book of this Bible than the book of Romans. We've got a lot more to gain ground in. But I really appreciate it on Wednesday night going in through the book of Romans. But Pierre kind of gave us a review of the whole book, and I went back to chapter 8. Chapter 8 is a Holy Ghost chapter. It's a beautiful, beautiful chapter. You know, and then he read a scripture the other night from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Did you hear that? Will give life to your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit, through his Spirit who dwells in you. Thank God. I like that. The Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the dead. One day you and I are going to be raised from the dead. I don't know where we're going to be buried, where our ashes will be, or anything else, however you want to go. Maybe you'll get eaten by a shark. I don't know. But God has no problems in raising you back to life from wherever you are in the four corners of this world. The same way the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, he's going to raise you and I. Amen? And right now he's doing a pretty good work of raising us up to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do we desire the anointing today? I told you, I'm just firing all over the place today. Are you with me? Just, you know, it's like going to the supermarket. You know, you go down an aisle, oh, I don't want that. I want, oh, I'll take this one. You know, and you kind of, whatever you get this morning, I hope that you get something filled up in your grocery bag and you've got something for Jesus. Amen? I believe that everything that gets us down in life will only be solved by the raising up of Holy Spirit in our life. Everything that gets us down in this life will only be solved by raising up Holy Spirit in our lives. In other words, if you want to be down and like there, then go ahead and stay there if that's what you want in life. And sometimes we see a lot of Christians that I can't understand. They actually like it there. They go down, they get discouraged, and they dwell there. I mean, conversation is about that. Countenance is about that. They're down, they're discouraged. And, oh, I don't know even why I came to church today. I don't think God could do anything for me, you know. And they walk out of church, well, I was right, nothing happened, you know. God didn't move. God didn't touch me. How can he? You've got this brick wall all around you of discouragement and downness and everything else. How could God ever come in there? If you're not trusting in the Lord, if you're not trusting in his word, you're not believing that God can change you or change your circumstances, you're not believing for a miracle, you're not believing for something to happen in your family, and your believer is all believed out, and you just don't have anything more, and you're just done. And so you stay there and you stay there. But if you want to be up, if you want to be up, come on, let me say this morning, if you want to get victory in your life, if you want to obtain victory in your life, if you want a breaking of chains, if you want to be on top of the game, so to speak, in the Holy Spirit, then let Holy Spirit in and let the Holy Spirit control our lives for God's glory and that rich, rich anointing. God wants us free. Amen. He wants us free because it says in the Bible, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, and it says in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, and I love going back to the Old Testament because Jesus did it too. He said, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke? Isn't that desire of God? When you read a scripture like that, you hear the heart of God saying, that's what I want for you. That's what I want for you. And then you get over to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Because of the anointing oil. Anyone bound today? I mean, I know you're not going to put your hand up. Yeah, I'm bound. No, I know you're not going to say that. But I mean, the question goes out, anyone bound today? I mean, it's time for freedom. It's time for freedom. I mean, has anybody got any chains around them? It's time to break those chains. Anybody feel like they're roped in? Some lasso has just been taking you and you've been hogtied and everything else. You're down. The devil's got you just down on the ground. It's time to cut those ropes. Amen? Anyone caged in? Just like a bird from... Amen? God wants to open the door of your cage and let the bird out. Amen? And you know how it happens? It's through the anointing. The anointing. You take the word of God, Let it come into your heart with that anointing in there. By his stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. And the anointing flows from that scripture. And you can walk around and be sick if you want, but I mean, God says believe, 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 believe. I always feel like, you know, when I get to a Pentecost Sunday and I start preaching like this, there must be someone thinking that if I could only get that today. You know, I really believe that a lot of times I've been in churches sitting there and say, you know, that's kind of unique. That preacher's from there and he knows this and everything else. And you're sitting there, I wish I could do that. I wish I could have that. Have you ever been there like that in a church service and you wish you could have something and you're, you know, praying. I know he's saying these things. I know it's in the Word of God. And you're sitting there. I mean, today's, come on, get past all that stuff. Amen. If you feel that this message is for you today, then say something. Believe something. Grab something. A hold of the horns of the altar and believe God to do something in your life. Amen. Holy Spirit is here. He's here and he wants to do great things. Do you believe that? I do. I've been praying that since all this week. You see, in the Old Testament, you see the power of the Holy Spirit doing great things. You know, I look back in the Old Testament, we just kind of write some of these things off. But you know, Joseph, this guy had dreams and visions. How did he get them? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Moses. I mean, how did he know to get up on top of that mountain? How did he know the things about God? How did he know about the Ten Commandments? How did he know about building the tabernacle? All these things. Holy Spirit. That's how. And then when they started building the tabernacle in that wilderness, it says that God by his Spirit moved on some in their gifting to be able to present that building the way that God wanted it. Do you know that God wants to get the building the way he wants it? That's us. So he's going to do something through the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. See, the prophets of old were moved by Holy Spirit. That's why they spoke. I'm reading Jeremiah right now, and it's really interesting in Jeremiah how, you know, God, they say, if I say that, they'll kill me. You know, thrown down a pit, he was ran out of town, all these things to his life, but he said, but your word is burning like a hammer, it's fire, it's pounding in my soul, I cannot contain it, I cannot stop not giving it out, so I give it out. And so he, by the Holy Spirit, gave out the word of God. Amen. Ezekiel was carried by the Holy Spirit to a valley of dry bones. They needed to see something for release of the power of God upon the nation of Israel. They're all like dead people. Maybe we need a vision like that for the church today. Amen? Yeah, in the Old Testament, it was an anointing for that moment or occasion. But in the New Testament, we come to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, not for a moment, but for a witness, for a life, for a change, for a walk, for a walking in the Spirit. And today, anything that happens, spiritually speaking, is by the moving and the power and the full presentation of the Holy Spirit in our church and our lives. Can you say amen? Today is very significant, not only in teaching about, learning about, finding out more about the Holy Spirit, but experiencing more about the Holy Spirit as well in our life. We need that. See, as I was preparing this message, I felt urged to say this, and I'll give the credit to God, okay, just in case you want to get mad at me. How often have we said these words, the lost need Jesus? We say that, don't we? As I was sitting there thinking about Pentecost Sunday, and I felt this impression upon my heart, but today, if that is to be true, that the lost need Jesus, and the work is to be done, then maybe we should also be saying this, how much the church, the saints of God, need Holy Spirit filling. Amen. If we are to ever say, it'd be good to see the lost saved, it'd be good to see the church filled with the Holy Spirit. See, there's a powerful force that flows from Pentecost. And when God said that you'll receive power, let me say that what most people think of when they think of this power, and that's what it's referring to in the Bible, is the dunamis, the power. You will receive power from the force of Pentecost. You receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you. Most think about the power of Pentecost has to do with the things like the authority we have in God. And that's true. We have that authority. or the spiritual authority over darkness and demons, and that it has to do with capacities beyond ourselves, that we can't produce a miracle, we can't produce a healing or anything else, so we want signs and wonders and miracles taking place, and speaking with tongues, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the ability to witness and persuade people to open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. All those spiritual things we include, and we bring it under the very place of the power of the Holy Spirit, and all those things certainly are not only scriptural, but they're available today. I really believe that. Nothing has been shut off, and I don't believe what some churches preach is that was for then, not for now. I believe that everything that God gave us then is for all, always. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't believe that God turned on a tap and turned it off and said, there, that's all you can have. God's turning on the tap, and I believe that God is praying for the church, turn it on harder. That's what the church needs, is turn it on harder, God. You know, when we recite that list of all those things that we think are the power and the authority of God, and we have the realm over the demons, this ability to see the invisible, to move, the discernment of gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the witnessing for Jesus Christ. Those things are real, and they are scriptural. And those things happen today, every single one of them, and they are intended to happen today. I really believe that. But those are, in a sense, from the power of Pentecost. But they are the flow, the outflow of the force of that power. For example, if you this morning to look up at the light above you and say, well, that's a nice light. I'm glad it's above me. It's lighting my Bible so I can read. And if you're looking, I mean, if you look at that light isn't power. It's a result of power. Isn't that right? I mean, you're seeing a result of electricity. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You see results of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And a lot of people put their faith in the things that happen around them, and they go after the things that happen around them. I want to go after the electricity. I want to go after the power of God, and I want to go after the force, and it's the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why David could say in Psalm chapter 23, verse 5, you anoint my head with oil. He knew where the electricity was coming from. He's not talking about Samuel coming over and dumping some oil on his head. He's talking to God here. You anoint my head with oil. He's talking about something spiritual, a lot different from being anointed as a king or over some province of Judah. He was talking about something that was powerful in God. The result is that my cup runs over. I like that. When you get anointed in God, you get a flowing cup. You know, your cup begins to run over. You're so full of the Holy Spirit. You're bubbling over. You start producing things, and your cup is running over. Amen? The Hebrew word for anointed here means to be greasy, as in fat. Did you know that? When you go to that word, you anoint my head, it's like grease on your head. I mean, it's to grow fat in a sense spiritually. God wants us fat in the Spirit. Can you say amen? You want to get fat? See, it's on the tape this morning. It's going to be on the site that Pastor said you can be fat. Okay? So you can be fat, to grow fat, spiritually speaking. You can put on weight in the Holy Spirit if you get this anointing that God wants to grow fat in the Holy Spirit in us, that anointing, in a good way, deeper, to go deeper in the Holy Spirit, climb higher in the Holy Spirit, amen? But did you know that when you get into the Holy Spirit, there's danger. Now, I want the flow of the Holy Spirit, and I'm kind of reluctant to put this out because this is another grocery aisle that you're going down in the independent grocers or whatever grocery store you go to. This is another part of the many messages that I got because as I started looking, you know, there's a danger that when we get into this that we grow fat spiritually. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 20. See, this is the nation of Israel. They've been brought out of Egypt. God has saved them. God has brought them out. God has walked with them. He's pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, and everything else. He's walking with them, and they've got the Ten Commandments, and they're going along. And this is what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 20. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Did you hear that? That God was warning them ahead of time that He'd done so much for them, blessed them, saved them, got them out of Egypt, you know, broke the bondage and everything else. But you, when they get off into the land flowing with milk and honey, and they'll get their eyes on all the stuff of the world and all the things around them, that they'll grow fat and they'll break the covenant and they'll turn away from God. God's prophesied over the nation of Israel and it came to be. Over the years of pastoring, I've seen some who get to the place where they just want to grow deep in the Holy Spirit. And I'm very grateful for people in the church that are hungering for God. Hunger for God. And they want spiritual anointings upon their life. And it comes through their life. And you can see the evidences of the Holy Spirit as they get hungry for the Word of God. And they go into that. And that's a real blessing. But I've also seen over the years as a pastor that some people, when they take over, let the emotions and let the drive of their life take over instead of letting God take over in the situations. I hope you understand what I mean. In fact, I've seen people over the years that they get so spiritual that even they're above the pastor. They're getting to that place where they have this superiority, where the pastor's not thinking right anymore. The board is sure off the wall. And they are the only ones that they feel that they get to this place. You know, I like Psalm chapter 1, blessed is a man who sits in the counsel of the godly. You know, I mean, I don't want to be an island to myself. We are a body together. We move together. But I've seen people, they begin to dominate in a bad way and look down on others who are not at their level. Like the nation of Israel, and just begin to forget God, where he brought them from, forget what he broke them from, and forget all these things, and they're growing fat spiritually. They become fat in the Holy Spirit, but in a bad way. I was reading about, anybody ever heard of a product called Skin So Soft? I don't know, is it Avon or is it Amway? I wasn't sure. I was reading about this, and it was really interesting because somebody came up with this idea about, you know, all these products that we have, you know, Betty always tells me that, you know, if you want to get some stains out of your toilet, put some toothpaste on it. I said, what? Like I go over, put the toothpaste on the toilet and it's going to take some stains out of it? Like, I can't believe that. But people come up with all kinds of crazy things that can happen all around us. Well, this person came up with this idea about Skin So Soft, this product from Avon, is it? Avon. In fact, it's got some properties in it it's okay for you to allow your dog to swallow. Now, I'm not saying go home and buy some, give it to your dog, okay? I do not want to be responsible for any dead dogs, just in case, okay? I'm a little skeptical. I, for one, would not give Skin So Soft to my dog, okay? But here's what they say. It gets on the inside of your dog and it produces some type of an odor that comes out of every pore of the dog's body that they say will keep flies, ticks, and fleas off of them. Did you ever have that in your veterinarian business where you told people to take Skin So Soft and let your dog eat it? I was reading about this story about a person driving along the road and a bug got in the car through the window, and they're driving, and they're... Have you ever heard about that? I mean, that's how accidents happen. Is that how that guy was going through the light? When you guys hit him, you know, he's probably swatting at a bug, I don't know. You know, I've seen kids on the bus, school bus, windows are open, it's summer, there's no air conditioning in school buses. And all of a sudden, a great big wasp comes in. You take 40, 50 kids. Sorry, did I wake somebody up? That's exactly what happens with me. They're jumping on this side of the bus, like the bus is going down the road like this and everything else. Just because, and I say, it's just a bee. They're running and jumping all over the place. I mean, have you ever seen or experienced people spilling a glass of water or breaking a plate trying to get a bug off this or trying to get out of this or everything else? I mean, I think that God named them really good bugs because they bug us. I mean, you could break or destroy something that's really important by fooling around with a bug, trying to get a bug. If you take your eyes off the target and focus on bug situations, spiritually speaking, it can get the best of you too. It's like the Old Testament, that anointing oil signifies the Holy Ghost. There's something about the Holy Ghost that will keep us content when bugs are all around us. There's something in the Holy Ghost that will keep our eyes on Jesus when people and things and everything around us is bugging us. Did you know that? I really believe that. There's a certain amount of spiritual grease or anointing placed in our lives. Have you got the grease? To look after the places we live and move and have our being in, because there's a lot of bugs out there. Right? Did you know also that bugs cause sheep to have scalp problems? I mean, David probably knew about some of these things. I don't know if it was rampant back in those days, but sheep had scalp problems. They had sores and they had boils. They would break out in the sheep's head. It would get all over their head. I don't know if it was called mange back in those days, but it was something that they would have a scalp problem. It was contagious. When sheep, they would butt their heads to each other, and they would kind of, that disease would pass from sheep to sheep, and they would pick up that scalp disease. You know, a person unsaved should not advise you and I how to live a life. Have you ever butt heads with somebody in this world? And sometimes the scalp gets on you, and you are starting to say, well, they've got a kind of good idea. And you haven't listened to the Holy Spirit. You haven't gone to the Word of God. You haven't gone to the direction of God. You see, you and I move by faith, not by sight. We don't move by the world. We want to be careful who we open up our lives to in this world. So the shepherd anoints my head with oil, because the problem starts with the head. Anoint my head with oil, because the problem starts with the head. If you ever told somebody that's wrong thinking, see, most of our problems will start in the head. Start in the head. Some people are going to miss heaven. Did you know why? Because that 18 inches, they say from the neck up, it's 18 inches. Because from the 18 inches up, they haven't given their hearts to Jesus. We say it's heart because they are not thinking right. It's because of that 18 inches, they're going to miss heaven. There's something else about the anointing. It brings us into a separated life. I like that. Exodus chapter 29, verse 7 says, "And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him." That's Aaron the high priest. If he was going to be set apart for the royal priesthood, he needed to be anointed with oil. So pour it on his head. Anoint him. And I like Psalm 130. Flow down his beard. See, another problem with sheep is in their mating season. As long as it is mating time, they all get along fine. But as soon as mating time comes around, the male sheep start fighting. Start fighting. They start butting heads with each other. And they even go through all the night, they say, as you think about sheep hitting one another, because they want to find out who's champion of the sheepfold. So they want to go through there and find out. And they're trying to fight to see who's number one, the boss. And sometimes they even kill each other over the female sheep. So how does the shepherd handle that? How does the shepherd handle that? You anoint my head with oil. The shepherd takes the sheep in that mating time, and they put grease and oil all over their head. And did you know when their head starts butting with each other, it just kind of... they just kind of slide off each other. And so the shepherd saw a real important thing about how if they anoint that head with oil, they can't butt each other hard, and that he won't be losing any sheep because they won't be dying because somebody wants to be number one in the sheepfold. So they put oil all over the head. What does it mean when he says he anointed my head with oil? Our purpose for the anointing is separation. If I have been anointed, I have been separated from the world. Be careful when those all around you tell you that you're a pretty good person out there in the world. Amen? We're not fit for this world. We're to be separated. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Come up from among them and be separate," says the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We have been separated. We have been separated. Separated from the world. Amen? We've been set apart for holy use. Holy use. God doesn't anoint everybody. He anoints his children. He gives us a special anointing in order to fulfill those purposes in the kingdom. See, the anointing helps prepare for the storms of life. The anointing is an indication that we have been accepted by him. You know, I find it really powerful when you get into the Word of God and you really read some of the things, stories, and you get into some of the things that Jesus points out. It's really beautiful. Because I was reading Our Daily Bread yesterday, You read it yesterday about the relationships and how sometimes they can go bad and things happen. And I mean, it's a world. It's a dog-eat-dog, the world that we're living in. But it spoke about those relationships that go bad and that happens all the time. It happens in the church and outside the church, by the way. Now, recall a guy by the name of Judas. John chapter 13, verse 21, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Jesus was actually saying that, did you know there's a crook in the church? There's a criminal in the pew. There's somebody that's got their hand in the money. There's somebody that's going to do something bad here. Somebody's got some wrong intentions. They don't have the right spirit. Somebody was headed in the wrong direction. Somebody would betray Jesus. Jesus was actually letting his disciples know that from all of those 12, one of them was going to betray them. One of them would get rid of him. And they began asking, "Is it I? Is it I? Who is it?" They wanted to know. Jesus said, "Look at the one who has his hand in the dish." And just because everybody grins at you doesn't mean they love you. I'm sure Judas was sitting there. Just because everybody grins at you doesn't mean they love you. Amen? Smiling faces can also tell lies. See, it's impossible to understand why Judas, I find this a hard thing. I mean, one of the 12 following Jesus, knowing Jesus, seeing the miracles, seeing the anointing, seeing him going about doing good, seeing all these things and being captivated in all those circumstances of following Jesus for these years, of seeing the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have really a problem seeing this, that he would betray Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's one of the difficulties I have, is seeing this guy betray Jesus and to sell him out so cheaply, 30 pieces of silver. How many times do we have a good thing, yet we're unaware of it in our life? You ever realize that? I mean, Judas had no idea that he would ever be sick. Have you ever got any idea that you're one day going to be sick? I mean, he just cut off the flow of the one who could heal him. One day, Judas was going to die. We know how he died because of his sin. But one day, he would die. I mean, I would rather die with Jesus because he's going to take my hand and I'm going to get over into that glory land and it's going to be great. So I'm never going to betray him. He's the one that's going to take us there. But Judas betrayed him. Judas was a hungry man, but Jesus had the bread of life. Judas was a thirsty man, but Jesus had the living water. And he betrayed every aspect of what Jesus could do in his life. Every time we discount the miracles, every time we push off the anointing, every time we don't betray Jesus, we're losing out on all the things that Jesus can pour into our life with. Judas sold everything he had in Jesus way too cheaply. And how often we do the same thing. When we walk around with our heads down after we just got through telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're a child of God and that our Father is rich and he has houses and untold, but we act like we haven't got a dime in the world. If our Father's rich and we know how to talk about our Heavenly Father, then understand that he will supply in all of our times and all of our needs. Amen? David said, "I've been young and right now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken and their seed begging for bread." We were alone and going nowhere without Jesus Christ. Call us sinners too, whatever you want to call us. But we heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Come unto me." Thank God that he called us. And I say today on Pentecost Sunday, thank God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Don't be like Judas and sell out the source. Be saved, be filled, be blessed, be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Amen? So let your head be anointed with oil so that your cup can run over. Did you get anything? I was going up and down the supermarket aisles today. I don't know if you got something today or felt something, but just going all over the place, I know. But I believe that God wanted to say something to somehow get us to a deeper place in God. So today, would the worship team come? And Amy, if you could sing that Holy Spirit song again. That was so beautiful. How many know that you need the anointing today? That you need the anointing today. The anointing that will break every yoke, set the captive free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's anointing. How many would like to be anointed today? I would love to stand at this altar and call you here and anoint you with oil. Oil that represents the Holy Spirit. Would you like that today? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you today, Holy Spirit. That you are here. That you are here. God, how often have we tried on our own? How often have we attempted on our own? How often have we stepped out on our own? Forgive us. We repent. God, we try to do things on our own. We try to handle things without you. But all it gets us into is trouble. God, thank you that even in our trouble, you are there. Even if we make our bed in hell, you are there. Wherever we are, you're there. You're always sympathetic to our lives and wanting to get back on track. You're always there offering a hand to us, Lord. You're always there reaching out to us, no matter how far we've turned left or we've turned right. No matter how far we've turned back in a road. Lord, you always, always, always have a place of forgiveness for us. So this morning I'm asking, let the Holy Spirit do a work in us right now. God, I know that there's some people right now that feel that they've gone too far back. There's no hope. I want to let you know that Jesus always has hope. He's the blessed hope. Some people think that they've done so much wrong in their life that God could never ever forgive them. God will always forgive. He's got a big heart. He's got a big heart. He's got a big heaven that he wants you to come to. So if you need an anointing this morning, if there's something that needs to be broken, something that needs to be removed, something that just needs to have an answer to prayer, I'm asking you this morning that I'm going to anoint you with oil, but you're the one believing. I'm just calling you forward. I'm just taking the oil. It's up to you what you do with it. It's up to you and how you handle it. It's up to you and how you want to believe in it. But Lord, help us all to believe for something to happen in breaking this morning. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come forward, please? If you want the anointing oil upon you, love to anoint you with oil. We're going to believe. We're going to believe. We're going to believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Amy.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
That will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. Shame is undone in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Thank you, God.
Your glory,
hallelujah.
God,
anoint our head with oil.
Anoint
our head with oil, God. Oh, hallelujah. Anoint our head with oil, God. Oh, let our cup run over. Let our cup run over, Lord God. Hallelujah. Consecrated life, dedicated for holy use. Lord, anoint our head with oil. Anoint our head with oil. Fill us with the Holy Spirit today. Fill us, fill us, fill us to overflowing, that our cup runs over. Our cup runs over, God. Our cup runs over. Hallelujah. Our cup runs over, Lord. Overflowing, bubbling over, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, no longer us, but you in us, Lord. No longer us, but Christ living in us. Christ living in us. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 The head is anointed. The devil can't come in. Amen. He just rubs them right off like a sheep biting a sheep. Just bugs flying away. Can't touch you. Your head's anointed. Keep the head anointed. Keep the head anointed. Just like David wanted. He wanted God to anoint his head. Even though Samuel the priest anointed him, he wanted God to anoint his head every day of his life. He wanted to live in that anointing in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that anointing, oh God, let that anointing flow in our head. Right thinking, right living, right mind, right set. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Come here.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts
God, what our hearts long for. Yes, Jesus. Overcome by your presence. Hallelujah. Glory, God, is what our hearts long for.